Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 6, verse 18. We have arrived at the very last sermon in Ephesians, and it has been a great study. Matter of fact, Ephesians to me, and not only to me, many people, Ephesians is the greatest epistle that has ever been written in the history of mankind. You know that this, as we conclude, let me just read a few things that people have said about Ephesians. It's been called the crown of Paul's writings, the greatest piece of writing in all history, the profoundest thing ever written, and may I add, from Scripture, it was written in Rome from a prison cell by the Apostle Paul through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we put on the seventh piece of armor, in other words, we're going to continue to walk worthy of our calling, as it tells us to do in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Remember, the word worthy means to be equal in balance. This picture of a set of scales, 5 pounds, 5 pounds, perfectly balanced. So if we're going to have a balanced walk, a worthy walk, then we have to be equal in doctrine and then apply that doctrine. That's application. We hear God's word, we do God's word. Amen? Now we have a balanced walk. We have a worthy walk. Now, there are those that I love, I highly respect, teachers of the good news of Jesus Christ, man, teachers of the Bible, and they say and believe that there are only 6 pieces of armor, and they stand on very, very solid ground, loved one. And the reason that they say that, the main reason, is because as we've gone through our study, we've learned that Paul is giving us a picture, if you will, maybe of a Roman soldier as he applies the helmet of salvation and so forth. So he has a part of the body he's applying it to. But when we get to verse 18, when we're talking about prayer, there's not a particular, he's not giving us a part of the body. But prayer is no doubt the seventh piece. It is the greatest weapon that we possess, amen? Because prayer takes us immediately into the presence of God, immediately to the throne of grace, amen? To our Father who loves us and Jesus who is sitting at the right hand of God, the one who saved us, purged us of our sins. So with all that being said, when you think of your body, you know, I mean, our whole being is dedicated unto the Lord, isn't it? Romans 12, 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies. Amen? Offer your bodies up to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Now, your body, that means everything that you are. Whenever you go into 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? The temple of God. That word means naos. We are the very holy of holies of God. And it says, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Right now, think about that. Paul says again in 1 Corinthians 6:19 about our body. He says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Loved one, listen. Prayer is how we battle and come against the powers of darkness of this age in this wicked world. Amen? So this morning, we're going to look at praying always. And let's just read our text, and let's begin in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and look how, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And the church says, amen. Let's look at our scripture beginning in verse 18 this morning about praying always. Paul the apostle, he's closing out. Now listen carefully. It's so vital that we remember we're talking about the armor of God. Amen? Okay, we tend to get away from that for some reason, but praying always is not an afterthought with Paul. It's like, oh, I better tell them they need to pray. No, this is literally the seventh piece. And listen, we are in, and we will always be in, a real war. Amen? With a real defeated wicked one, or the defeated devil. I want you to listen to me now. Satan, the liar, the deceiver, the wicked one, man, he does not want the believer to offer up one prayer, even one short prayer, even one utterance or cry unto God. You know why? Because this is his territory, isn't it? 1 John 5:19, we know that we're of God, and the whole world lies where? In the sway of the wicked one. He doesn't want, he hates prayer. He hates the praying Christian, and he certainly doesn't want you praying, especially on his territory. Jesus, or rather Paul, called him the God of this age. But sadly, and I say this lovingly, without any judgment in my heart, we're all accountable to God, and we're all going to give an account to God. But loved one, listen, would you say that perhaps prayer is the most neglected spiritual discipline in the life of the believer until you get in trouble? Until there's a problem, and man, now you're crying out to God. You're repenting of sins you've never even done. You know what I'm saying? You're just saying, Lord, help me. But prayer, loved one, listen, as you've heard me say all the years, I've said this so much, I think I even actually came up with it, but I don't believe I did. I think it was Ian Bounds. Prayer is the work. That's it. If you're not praying, you're not spiritually working. You're spiritually lazy, okay? Man, did you have a prayer time this morning? Bill, this is Sunday, the day of rest. No, that's not. This is the day that we all come together to meet the Lord, isn't it? Because we're the body of Christ. Did you have a prayer time this morning? If you didn't, oh, that's not my problem. You've got a problem. Now, Satan will do anything. His schemes are designed to wear you out, to exhaust you. He wants you, matter of fact, he wants you exhausted spiritually, physically, emotionally. Do you understand? You know what's interesting about this, as we've gone through this great epistle, the warfare increased when we got to verse 10 of chapter 6. But I have never had warfare until I got to verse 18. Boy, that's all week long, knowing where I was going, trying to plow through. I even, this morning, 3:30, I am up, I'm in my office, that's the laundry room, remember? And you know, I'm in there trying to shake, rattle, and roll. Lord, do you want me to change this? Am I going in the right direction? You know, I thought about maybe going online, stealing somebody's sermon. Now, you know that's a joke and a lie. No. I said, Lord, I know this is deeper, but I've had such an attack mentally all week. And Lord, I want us to get this. See, here's the deal. Satan's schemes are designed to stop you, prevent you, if possible, from communicating with God in prayer. Amen? Well, he wants you to do that. His design, his wiles of the devil, you know, he doesn't care if you believe in prayer. He doesn't care how much you talk about prayer. He doesn't care how many books you read on prayer, as long as you really never have a disciplined daily prayer life. Does that make sense? Samuel Chadwick said this, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom. But the devil, he trembles when we pray." He trembles, loved one, when we pray. What kind of praying? We'll look at it again. Praying always, or let's just say praying on all occasions. Praying always with all kinds of prayer. What is prayer? Do you ever think about that? Well, number one, prayer is the way God has chosen for us to communicate with him. Amen? So prayer is simply speaking to God. You know, supplication, though, is pleading to God in prayer. You see the difference? So it tells us all kinds of praying. Listen, that's little praying, much praying, quiet praying. That is groaning in the Spirit. There's all kinds of prayer. Peter, when he was sinking in the water, the shortest prayer in the Bible, Lord, save me. Do you understand? Prayer doesn't have to be, it's not the quantity of words or quantity of prayer, it's the quality of your prayer, amen? And that's what's important. Prayer will always be the work. If you're not prayed up, you're not ready to battle the devil. Matter of fact, if you're not prayed up, you're in trouble. And I love you, but that's just the truth, loved one. You're in trouble. Listen, supplication, again, it says, what does it say? All prayer, and then it says supplication in the Spirit. So supplication are those specific requests to God when we're pleading. Now, intercession is when we go to the Lord on behalf of another person. But supplication is pleading, letting your request be known unto God. Remember Philippians 4:6? Be anxious for nothing. Don't let anything in this world tear you apart. Be anxious for absolutely nothing, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving, let your request, I should say, and supplications, let your request be known unto God. Now you say, well, Bill, he already knows what I need. Yes, he does, but he says, I want you to tell me again. He likes children, his children, to tell him what they need. Amen? Yes, he loves you. So, you know, we need to practice those things. Now, here's the deal about prayer and warfare. Satan, he is terrified of the throne of grace. He's terrified. And you know why he's terrified? For he knows who is there. The one that defeated him, amen? Defeated the devil on the cross. The one who tasted death for every person. Listen, his name is Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. Now listen carefully. And God has given unto him, our Savior, all power and authority in heaven and on earth. Amen? And he is our Lord. And boy, I'll tell you, he is afraid of him. He's terrified because Jesus defeated death, sin, the grave, all of it on the cross, and especially the wicked ones and all the principalities and powers. Now, with all that being said, he will do anything to discourage you from going to the throne of grace. I can't, the kids are waking up, I don't have time, and oh, I didn't set my alarm, or however you do it, you know, to get up. He'll do anything to discourage you. You can be up at 3 a.m, people start texting you. That's true. And you're in prayer, and you know how you are, you go, I don't care who that was. No, you go, who was that? What weirdo would, No, he'll do anything to discourage you from going there and praying. He'll do anything, once you get there, the throne of grace, to limit your time there. That's what he does. Satan fears the throne of grace, and you know why? Not only because Jesus is there, and thank God he is seated at the right hand of God, but see, Satan knows what is freely available at the throne of grace for every true believer. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, it says, therefore, let us come boldly, with confidence, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, and here's the reason, that we might obtain mercy. Did y'all catch that? Come on. It doesn't say might, that you may obtain mercy. That you might find grace. No, that you and find grace and help in time of need. The believer, we're the only people on this planet who stand in the unmerited, unearned, divine favor of the living God 24/7. And we'll stand in that forever and ever and ever. We are the only people, the believer, the Christian, we're the only believer, or the only person on earth who has access to the throne room without the fear of condemnation. Amen? Yeah. Oh, listen, we have access to God anytime, any moment, 24/7. Anytime you need to run there, you can. But there's only one way, prayer, and one person, Jesus Christ, or you can't go there. Amen? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, having boldness, not in yourself, but in Jesus, okay? Having boldness, here it comes, to enter the holiest. Now, that is the tabernacle in the heavenlies. That is the holy of holies. That is the throne of grace. That's where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. To enter, think about that. And then it tells us how? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, God loves us. And God so loved the world, what did he do? He punished his only begotten son for all of our sins. Amen? He punished the one who had no sin. Why? And here we come. We come to the throne of grace. Now listen, and all we have to do is appropriate the things that we truly need. Maybe we need mercy. Maybe we need grace. Maybe we need help in time of need. All we have to do is appropriate that by faith, because everything we need is there. All of our provision, all of our wisdom, all the power in the universe is right there, and it's there for you and for me. The Bible, Paul writes later on to the church at Colossae, he says in Colossians 3:1, he says, since you were raised with Christ, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not things on earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What a great word, amen? What a great fact. What a present reality that we have. Now look at verse 18 again. It says that we're praying always, all kinds of prayers. We're pleading with God. That's the word supplication. But look how we are to do that. It says in the Spirit. Satan not only is terrified of the one who sits upon the throne of grace, he is terrified of the things that are available to the believer at the throne of grace. But boy, Satan, I tell you, he fears Spirit-filled praying. To pray in the Spirit means that you have an intimacy with the Holy Spirit of God. It means that you're very aware of his presence. It means that prayer is not mechanical. It means that prayer is something that you desire. It's a discipline, yes, but that discipline turns to a joy, because praying a loved one through the power of another is a wonderful thing. Amen? Not in your own strength. And Satan, see, he wants every believer to be ignorant of the divine helper, the Holy Spirit. Man, he rejoices in believers who, number one, grieve, Ephesians 4:30, grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And number two, who quenches the Spirit. He loves that. Because he knows that there's a problem then in your life. And he knows if you're doing those things, you're probably not praying anyway. But listen, he wants every believer to think about the Holy Spirit in a realm that is contrary to biblical theology. And that is this. He wants every believer to think that the Holy Spirit is an it or a essence or a force or a language or whatever. No, listen, the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen? See, the Holy Spirit is not a doctrine. Yes, but no. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, loved one. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is God. Oh, man. Listen, the Bible says through the Holy Spirit, listen carefully, Ephesians 2:18, for through him, meaning Jesus, we both, meaning Jew and Gentile, now we've been made one new man, remember? It says, have access by one Spirit to the Father. When we pray in the Spirit, and don't now listen, there's those that, now Bill defined that. Does that mean praying in tongues or your prayer language or something? Now listen, praying in the Spirit means the Spirit is praying through you. It doesn't matter which way that works. If the Spirit is praying, praise God, there's the power. That's what's important. Now, so praying in the Spirit, that effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it's impossible to pray in the Spirit, man, without his involvement. Remember the command in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine where in excess. It says, but be ye being filled. It's a command. Be ye being filled with the Spirit. Every day we need to be filled and flooded with the Spirit of God. I don't know about you. I need the divine helper. Amen? Man, I need his involvement in my life. Why? Because the Christian life cannot be lived without the power of another. Jesus said in John 15, 5, he says, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Remember the verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6? It says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But why do you think Paul added, of course, we know the Holy Spirit did that through him, but why do you think he added in the Spirit? That's very important. I'll tell you why. Do you know the always how to pray for other people? I mean, the exact way to pray for those that are maybe dying, for those that have lost a loved one, those that are sick, or how do we pray for people that we don't know that are like our doctors, our nurses, what they're going through, their emotional makeup, the pressure that they're under? You see, I need the Holy Spirit to help me pray. Because the Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. Amen? Oh, man, it says, the Bible says in Jude 20, it says, but you, that's us, it's personal, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now, that doesn't mean, that's not talking about your own personal faith. That's talking about the Word of the living God, all 66 books, the faith, the gospel. Building yourself up on your most holy faith, and then it tells us how. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now listen, to pray in the Holy Spirit means that you have the greatest prayer partner in all of the universe. Oh, he helps you to pray. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, listen carefully, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit. Not self-help books, not that you've read 100 books on prayer. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, in a moment of weakness and moral weakness or physical, the spiritual, whatever it might be. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. There are times when I need to pray, but I don't know how to pray for that individual. Does that make sense? I just don't know what to do. I mean, there's things that I'm praying about. I called Paul yesterday. I said, Paul, this is a burden on my heart right now. Let's talk about this, and, you know, and so forth. Reaching out. Oh, I'm praying about things. Lord, what do we do? Which way do we go? What do I tell the church or whatever it might be? And it says, oh, no. He says, he helps us. The Spirit helps us, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. I just know that I need to pray. Here it comes. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, makes intercessions for us. And that means that the Holy intercessions from the Spirit of God means he throws himself into whatever need you may have. He knows what you need more than you know what you need. He pleads with us before God and makes intercession for us. That's what that means. For the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. And listen how he does it. With groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, too deep to even mention. Divine articulation to God from the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't that blow you away? Man, listen. Spurgeon said this. He said about the groanings. He said, groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers which cannot be refused. What a great word. He goes on and Paul says, now he, meaning God, who searches the hearts, he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He knows what the Spirit is praying with through these groanings. He says, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So whenever the Spirit of God is making intercession for us, he's making intercession. He's praying the will of God for us, not our will. Does that make sense? Oh, loved one, we need that. He's pleading through us right there at the throne of grace. And what does he do? Sometimes you know what happens when the Holy Spirit, you know it's not you praying. If you follow me, you know it's not you. And you're going, this is good. Boy, this is really good. Man, I'm a prayer warrior. You know, but you know it's not you. Don't take credit for that. It's the Holy Spirit creating the prayer in us to pray, and then empowering us to pray the prayer. Oh, when you start praying that way in the Spirit, and you know it's not you, you can stay in prayer forever. Time starts disappearing. Does that make sense? Because you're in the Spirit, you know that the presence of God is so close to you. Listen, we have an ever-present friend. He is the Spirit of truth. He wants to lead us, open up every page, every word on the Word of God. And listen, He's that helper. He's our helper. He's our strengthener. He's our standby. He's the still, small voice in us. Don't do that. Don't go that way. Help that person. Oh, how we need that. He says, praying always in verse 18, all kinds of prayer, pleadings or supplications, how? In the Holy Spirit, and look what he says, being watchful to this end. The word watching there literally means lying sleepless. Don't you hate to lie sleepless in that bed? I was begging God this morning. I said, now, Lord, last Sunday, my first Sunday back, you let me sleep till 5 o'clock. I felt so refreshed. Lord, you woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning. You know that I don't want to pray. I want to sleep. It's okay. Is that okay to be honest? Yeah. You want to get up at 2 o'clock? No, you don't want to get up either. No. And I'm saying, Lord, let me have 1 hour, just 1 hour, that deep, the REM sleep. You know what I mean? Where you don't care if you drool, you're just out. But he didn't do that. Finally, I get out of bed with joy in my heart. Oh, listen. Praying always says being watchful. That word again literally means lying sleepless. You're awake. Now, Jesus told his sleeping disciples, remember in the garden, he comes up to them and finds them sleeping in his greatest need, the greatest hour of his need. Don't tell me ask anyone to help him. He says, could you not tarry with me in prayer 1 hour? Could you just not help me, stand by me this 1 hour? Jesus was praying the great drops of blood. You remember that? What did Jesus say? He said in Matthew 26:41, the same word. He says, watch, be watchful. Watch, be alert, wake up, don't be sleeping. It's time to pray. You have to be on guard lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. A great scripture that Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4:7, he says this, oh, loved ones, the end of all things is at hand. In other words, wake up, be expectant. Something's happening. He says, therefore, be serious. And there's a word again, watchful in your prayers. Be alert, be awake, don't go to sleep. We're fighting an enemy, amen? Prayer is important. And then he says, also, all perseverance or persistence in prayer. That means never give up. Prayer is always going to be the work. And we never give up, we never faint, we don't quit. Never do so until the Holy Spirit of God gives you the strength to say, no more prayers. That's it. You've prayed through. It's either answered or it's no. Does that make sense? When you have a release from the Spirit about anything you're praying about, let it go, loved one. Like I said, it's answered or it's not answered. Just let it go. The Holy Spirit says, no, enough is enough. So that prayer, that all perseverance in prayer. So we have to persevere or be persistent in our prayer time. You know why? Talking about warfare. Because the devil, does he give up? Does he say, I'm just tired of being persistent? Does the devil say, I need a nap? No, he doesn't rest. He doesn't do that. He's always on the prowl. He is always looking for a victim. He is the father of every lie. He is a deceiver. He appears as an angel of light, loved one. No, the Bible says for us to pray, Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer. That means never give up, never quit. He says, being vigilant, that word again, that's the same word we're studying. Be awake, stay awake, and so forth. There's an enemy. He hates you. He wants to tempt you and get you in trouble. And it says, and do it with thanksgiving. Whenever the unjust judge, remember, came to the widow would not help the widow. What did Jesus say in the parable? In Luke 18:1, he said, men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't be discouraged in your prayer time. You just keep praying it, like I said, until the Holy Spirit releases you. See, here's the problem. I know it, I've learned it, and I've taught it for years here. We give up before, too soon. We give up before the answer arrives. Does that make sense? So you just keep praying. You're not going to bother the Lord. He wants you to pray. So we have to be steadfast. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:7, he told us, and they're all imperatives, by the way. He says, ask and it shall be what? Given unto you. Knock and the door will be opened. What's the next one? Oh, seek and ye shall find. And if you in the Greek, it would be keep on asking, keep on seeking, okay? Keep on knocking, meaning persistent faith, persistent prayer. It's so vital that we do that. Now watch this. Look at the object now, talking about warfare, closing out this great epistle. Look at the object of our praying. It says, praying always, all kinds of prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance, all kinds of persistent supplication. Why? The object of our prayers, watch that now, for all the saints. The saints, that's us, the set apart ones, the holy ones. Plural, all the saints, loved one. Man, listen, why? Because we are all engaged in the same war. Amen? Yeah, we all have the same common enemy. We are the body of Christ. We're that one new man. We are all in it together. We're all in a war together. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Listen now, we are in a war against a defeated enemy. Satan is defeated. He is no longer we're the victor, not him. He'll never be the victor. We know his destiny. Amen? So we're in a war with the defeated enemy. And here's the deal. It is high time for the church of Jesus Christ. We need to awake out of our sleep because we are not defeated. We will never be defeated. Do you understand? Do you believe that? Oh, listen. Our salvation, it's nearer than when we first believed. I've got some things I'm going to have to tell you soon about the rapture. Oh, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night, the Bible says, oh, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Oh, church, let's get away from being religious. Get away from I'm thankful that we don't have programs. You know what I mean? But we don't want to have programs. We want to have praying. Well, you know, it's one thing to be organized, but loved one, we need to be agonizing in prayer. You know, prayers that are little, they cost little. Does that make sense? No, we need to be praying much. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, in James 4:2-3, it says, listen, you have not because you ask not. For you ask amiss, the wrong way, to spend it on your own pleasures and your own lust. Oh, listen, no, prayer without faith is not prayer. It doesn't matter how wonderful it sounds or how glorious it is. If you're praying and you don't believe, why would you even pray? See, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, it tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, meaning God, for we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They're at the throne of grace, okay? So Paul writes and he says this as we come to the end of this great epistle. He says, now pray for the saints, but look at it, and pray for me and for me. Why? He says, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, meaning the good news, for which I am an ambassador in chains, an ambassador as we are to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Isn't it amazing out of all these chapters, what does Paul do? Just for a couple of verses, he makes it personal. He says, I need you to pray for me. And you might think, Paul, I mean, you want us to pray for you? You've visited the heaven. You've been to heaven. You've raised the dead. You're the writer of 1/3 of the New Testament. Give me a break, Paul. What kind of prayer do you even think we could pray for you? What I like about Paul, he doesn't pray. He doesn't say, pray that I would get out of this Roman prison. Isn't that great? Now, I would be saying that. I would say, sell the church. I don't care. Sell this building. Now, you wouldn't want that, I know. I would. I don't want to be behind bars. I don't want to be chained to a guard. Paul doesn't, he doesn't pray that. He doesn't say, please pray that I'm released from prison. He doesn't do that at all. He doesn't say, oh, if you don't send in your offering, I will not be on the air next week. I don't want him going there. No, no. He didn't do that. Paul penned the greatest epistle in the world from his prison cell. And he says, this is what I need. I need the Holy Spirit of God. You pray that he would open up my lips, that he would give me boldness, that he would give me utterance, and that I would proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in this prison or wherever I'm chained to. Amen? That's what he did. And that you, verse 21, also may know my affairs, how I'm doing. Then Tychicus, he's the one who delivered this epistle to Ephesians, by the way. Beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord. He's going to make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and watch this, and that he may comfort your heart. Now, Paul is in prison. What a great man of God. He's in chains, and he says, I want to comfort your heart. That's why I'm sending him to you. He says, peace to the brethren, love with faith, from God the Father of our Lord Jesus. Grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In other words, that word means in undying love. Did the church of Ephesus continue in undying love for the Lord? No, when we get to the book of Revelation, we'll find that they left their first loved one. No. Listen, praying always with power in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit means you are in agreement with the Spirit. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Agreement with the Word of God. There must be today the time that we're living in. And we are living in hard times, loved one. But there has to be today a body of believers who rise up and truly, with all of their hearts, they're convinced of the words of our Savior. In Jesus, what did he tell us in Matthew 28:18? He says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Do you believe that? God's in control. Jesus, our Lord, is in control. You know what? We have to believe that the church which Jesus governs, loved one, that's us. He governs the entire universe. We have to believe that with all of our heart. We must believe Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That works in us. We have to believe that, loved one, with all of our hearts. We have to believe Jeremiah 32:26 that says this, behold, I am the Lord. He's speaking there to Jeremiah, and he says, oh, Jeremiah, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. And I love this. Is anything too hard for me? There's nothing too hard for God. And listen, we have his ear. Amen? Think about that. We have the ear of God. The church has to get back to business. In other words, the Lord's business and not the world's business, loved one. Listen, you know, if all of the church in this country had been consumed with these vile, wicked, filthy child sex traffickers in our nation, like they were consumed with this election, we'd run them out of town. Do you understand? If we prayed as much as we prayed for this election, we would and prayed for this in our cities, we would cleanse the heavens, the filthy heavens. Do you understand? We would drive them out with fear. Boy, you should read Finney and the revival of Finney and all the things that took place. Finney, during that time, the people that were praying, Finney could walk into a factory, and people would break down weeping when he walked in because of the power of God. They would give their lives to Christ. Do you understand? I have a dear friend that I love dearly who was a manager of, what's it called? Thank God it's Friday. What's it called? Fridays? What is it? It doesn't matter. It was a restaurant. Thank God it's Friday, or whatever it's called. And he was a manager over by Airport Freeway, and Billy Graham had landed out there, or whatever he was doing, he and his entourage came in, and the moment that he walked in, every waitress left and went into the bathroom. They didn't know who it was. They all went in there and started weeping. Isn't that amazing? They all started weeping. And so the manager goes in, "What are you? Girls, what's wrong with y'all?" He said, "I don't know. There's something just came into the building. It's overwhelming me." So the manager walks up, and Billy Graham, he's got his hat on, you know, pulled down, his little sunglasses. And he goes, "Sir, are you Billy Graham?" He says, "Yes, I am. Can I order?" Listen, there's something about being prayed up in a church who believes God's word. Boy, we are the most powerful people on this earth. And we have to rise up, loved one, now. Not tomorrow, today. And we have to displace the wickedness in our cities and the wickedness in the heavenlies. That's where our battle is. And we do it by prayer. Now, we can do that, but will we do that? Will the church really do that? You know, listen, Satan is defeated and our God reigns. One more verse, Ephesians 1:21, Jesus who's far above all principality. That means everything and anything. Jesus who's far above all principality, all rule, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. In other words, let any name be uttered in this entire universe. There is none greater than Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess unto God. Amen. And say that Jesus is Lord. And he's put all things under Jesus' feet. It says, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Here it comes. The fullness of him who fills all and all. We're filled with his presence, with his gifts. Oh, loved one, with his power, with his love. We're filled with all of that. There are only two kingdoms on this planet. There's the kingdom of darkness that belongs to the wicked one. And there's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of love, the kingdom of God. He rules and he is our Father which art in heaven. Amen. Oh, listen, that's where it all is right there. From my heart to your home, I bid you a Christ-centered Thanksgiving. A wonderful, safe Thanksgiving. I beg you in Jesus, and I use that word beg on purpose, please be safe. Please don't take chances. Please wear a mask. Please wash your hands. Come back safely and don't come back and spread COVID. Amen? Can I say that to y'all? Is that okay to say? I don't want you to call me and say, "Bill, I'm sick. I'm really sick." Or you go to the hospital. I can't come and see you. They're not going to let me in. Do you understand? Let's fight against this. Let's do what's right, even though it's uncomfortable to do what's right, like wearing a mask or doing that with our, you know? Father, I thank you for them that they put up with me. I love them, Lord. Please, in Jesus' name. I know that many are just going to go out there and they're not going to wear a mask. Lord, please don't let that happen. Please don't let anyone get COVID. Please don't let anyone get sick. Lord, I pray a covering over them, the blood of Jesus over them, the love of God over them, the grace of God over them. If they travel by air, if they travel by car, if they travel by bus, if they stay at home, whatever they do, give them a safe, perfect, Christ-centered Thanksgiving. We love you and we give thanks unto you this day, Father, in the greatest name in all of the universe. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church says, amen.